In the old times, some of the Sundays had special names. Do you remember that? There was one Sunday was called Whit Sunday, which is the Sunday after Pentecost, I think, right? June? Another one. They had many names. And I'm going to propose today, what was the others? You remember them?
King.
Before Lent, the Quinquagesima. What?
Christ the King
Sunday. I would propose today we call this Sunday Tongue Sunday. Did you hear all the tongue talk about today? Yeah. The first reading, Isaiah was talking, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher. James says, no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. And then we saw Peter getting in trouble with Jesus because of his tongue. So today, I said, I think it's an invitation. I think an invitation to really consider the power of speech, the power of our tongue, the power of words that we say that can build and that can hurt, and the power of our language that can do so much harm and at the same time can be so healing. James, in his letter, puts it very succinctly. He says, with the tongue, and it's like the paradox of it, with the tongue we bless God, and with the tongue we curse those who are made in God's likeness. How is it that one same little piece of our body can produce so disparate, how's that word? Outcomes. I still remember as a five-year-old, I've told this story a couple of times, I think, but I'll say it again. Remember, when I was 5 years old, my dad, my mom, my siblings, we went to Germany, an army base. My dad is a major in the U.S. Army, and we lived there, and I got there without knowing English. I knew Spanish. English. And I remember the barrage of insults, of bullying, of awful words said because I did not speak English, because I was a little bit darker than the rest of my classmates, and because I was a Latino. And I remember a teacher telling me, oh, you just say, and I had to write it down because I erase it from my head somehow. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never break me, right? Is that it?
Hurt
me? Okay. The one I think I taught was break me. Sticks and stones. He said, just say that. When someone says an awful word to you because you're a Latino, Puerto Rican, you're a little darker, just say that. And sometimes I could say it and it worked, but other times it did not work. At other times, hurtful words really got me. And I remember going by myself on the side in the yard in the school, crying because I could not understand why these kids were so mean, why these kids would say these awful things, and I could not understand it. So I was not too inclined to believe that, just tough it up. Because the message I got was somehow it was my fault. I wasn't thick-skinned enough. I wasn't strong enough. Someone said, you're a sissy. Because I was hurt by words that were said. So I don't know. What do you all think? The power of language. The power of speech. What do you all think about it? What do you think? Huh?
Yeah. Same way.
Yeah.
And they can be replayed in your head over and over and over too.
Some words replay, yeah. And some of these words touch you very deeply and they can hang in there for a long time. Seeding a little bit of self-doubt of who am I? Am I worthy? Somehow I get the message around me that I am not. So words have a very powerful, they're a very powerful component in our lives that can hurt and at the same time they can build. James says, just imagine, it's just a little thing, the tongue, he says. The tongue is just a little part of our bodies. He says, but they can do a lot of things. Great exploits, says James. Just like a little fire can burn a whole forest. Just like the little rudder of a ship can steer a ship in a storm. Just like the bit on a horse can tame a horse, the tongue is able to do many things, good and bad. James even says, you know, we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes in our lives. But he says, if someone is capable of taming their tongue, that person is perfect. One way was saying, this is really complicated. It is hard. Our tongues are loose. And he says, it is difficult. Yes, we all make mistakes. But anyone who is capable to control their tongue, that person, my God, that one is perfect. That one is really big. So, no wonder the speech has been so important in many religious traditions. In our Jewish tradition, it's one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And even Jesus, when he was talking about not killing, he said, we need to go a little bit deeper than just not killing. He said, in Matthew, which is today's gospel of our daily office prayer, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable of judgment. And Jesus says, but I say to you that even if you're angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable for judgment. And if you insult a brother or a sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Jesus, I think, was a little bit, he went to the other side, now very demanding. But I think he has a point. What he was saying is words matter. Words truly matter. And that is why he was saying, you all think it's only not killing others? Using words that hurt and denigrate and put down people, those are just like killing someone. In Buddhism, they speak of the Eightfold Path. And one of the eight paths in Buddhism, this Noble Eightfold Path, is right speech. And the Buddha said, abstaining from lying, from divisive speech, from abusive speech, and from idle chatter, this is called right speech. It's interesting. Abstaining from lying. Lying is when we purposely tell a falsehood to hurt someone else. Divisive speech. Just look at our country. Speech that hurts, that divides us. Abusive speech that belittles and denigrates someone. Idle chatter, just gossip. In many times I heard people say, oh, it's not gossip because it's true. That is called detraction. Even if you know something that is true of someone else, if it is not none's business to share it, we have no right to share it. The only reason we should share if something is true is if it is something that is hurtful. And the churches, we are known for that when we have covered up for so many abuses in our religious communities. But if there's no business of sharing it, it says, it's better just to shut up. Even if we're uncertain, if we hear a little rumor, why do we assume it's truth without further investigation about someone's fault? Or even worse, when we spread false or lies to damage the reputation of others. It is sad because today, religious leaders are lying, covering up for abuse. Political leaders are lying to cover up for their own mistakes. So today, Jesus, James, Isaiah the prophet is inviting us. How is our speech right speech? How is our speech conducive to building the community, to healing those who are hurt, to construct and not to destroy? There's a beautiful story that many of you probably know about a father who had a son who was very prone to speak bad things about his classmates. And he was famous for that and got in trouble in school. And the dad told the son, this is what you're going to do. Every time you say a hurtful word, I want you to nail a nail in the fence, in the wooden fence in front of our house. So a little kid came in, and the first day he had about 15 nails. Second day, I think he had 14. And every day he got better. Yeah, he got better. He put less and less nails on the wooden fence. And then he was very proud. He went to his dad. Dad, I did it. I've been the whole day without saying any hurtful words. And the dad said, I'm so proud of you, son. Now I want you to do this following. Every day you go by without saying a hurtful word, I want you to extract one of those nails. Okay? He did it. Little by little. Every day he would pull out one of the nails that were stuck in the fence. At the end, he had removed all the nails. He says, Dad, I did it. I spent all these days without saying a hurtful word to one of my classmates. And look, the fence is without a nail. And the dad said, yes, I'm so proud of you. So good. But notice one thing. That fence is not the same. It's full of wool, full of holes. And that is how speech can hurt and remain hurting someone. And it's very difficult to repair. James asked the question, how can we control our tongue? And we'll hear it next week, but I'll give you a little preamble of it. James, in his letter next week, he will say, are any of you wise and understanding? Show that your actions are good with a humble lifestyle that comes from wisdom. And just to take the idea, what I think James was trying to communicate is the following. He says, yes, we are very prone to hurt or to use our tongue for harm. And the way we combat that is humble wisdom. It is the ability to shut up, to be quiet, to really be humble enough to say, I don't know, I don't understand, teach me. To be at the foot of a teacher and says, can I learn? Because I don't know. And that is what I learn in my own life. When I'm judgmental, when I have stereotypes, when I have racist thoughts that I was talking last week, the best way for me is to stop and say, Spirito, get down, be humble, learn. Who is this person that you have these ideas about? Because of the color of their skin, the belief they have or not beliefs, whatever it is. Stop, shut up, Berto. Learn and be humble enough to receive wisdom. And when we receive wisdom, then we can have hearts of compassion and love. No wonder the gift of the Holy Spirit were tongues of fire. Remember that? The disciples weren't able to go out after 50 days. 50 days that were in silence, were not able to go out. It was a way of saying, before you start teaching, that was how James started his, if you want to be a teacher first, be quiet and listen. Be careful not to be too much of a teacher. So I think the disciples spent 50 days, a symbolic number. It's a long time to be quiet. Yes, sometimes we need that quiet, that silence, that humbleness. And after those 50 days, they were received the tongue, these tongues of fire, as a symbol of the power of language, the power of communication that builds, that reconciles, and that heals. May God grant us all tongues that build, tongues that are compassionate and loving and constructive. Amen.